The reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 16. That's Ezekiel 34, verses 1 to 16. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Dear Father, thank you that your word is pure and right and restores the soul. Please give us, our Father, grace and strength to hear your words and to do it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. We began last week with the shock news that Jerusalem had fallen. The unthinkable had happened. And I said we needed to get into the shoes of their generation before we could go through the door into all the wonderful promises that God makes in the rest of the book of Ezekiel. And this week and next week, the subject is shepherds. It's about the kings of Israel. That's who the shepherds are. When Babylon conquered Jerusalem, its king, he tried to escape, tried to run away with his soldiers, abandoning his people. But he was caught and he was brought to the Babylonian emperor and forced to watch the execution of his sons before he was blinded chained up and taken away. The unthinkable has happened. So think what it would feel like to be one of the exiles. For 12 years, they felt like the unlucky ones. Jerusalem had a descendant of David on the throne. God would never allow him to fail. And we are in the labor camp. And who knows what will happen to us. But now their world flips on its head. Chapters 1 to 24 of Ezekiel explain, no, God was behind this destruction of Jerusalem. And chapters 34 to 48 explain that God is going to restore everything and better to his designated survivors, the group in exile. Turns out it is better to be in exile without a David, but with God, than to be in Jerusalem with David and against God. So the exile in this chapter is God putting an end to abusive kings, no matter who their father was. And the future is going to be God restoring everything far better for those who will turn from evil and trust him. And before I show you that in the verses, I just want to say a few things about application. Always on a Sunday here, we are trying to get as close as we can to the main intention of the author. And when we apply to us today, it is the same. We're looking to make the minimum adjustments from the author to now, and only the adjustments that are necessary because of the different place that we are in God's history. And when Ezekiel spoke, he was not speaking about leaders in general. In the first instance, he was speaking about four particular people. The names get confusing, and three of them have two names, which is even worse. So I've put a family tree for you on the handout, which you can download below the live stream. It's the last four kings to sit on David's throne: Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Verse 2, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. The primary applications come out of a specific situation in history where four blokes, because they were God's king, they thought they had a cast iron guarantee that they would always get away with anything. And then God destroyed them. Then, if you're looking for secondary applications, then you come out from the primary application to the way that a chapter like 1 Peter 5 in the New Testament talks about church leaders today, using language from this chapter and shepherd language. So leaders then, like William, who leads the church here, and bishops and archbishops in our denominations, or the minister of whatever church you normally attend if you're listening with us today. Church leaders, they are not identical to chapter 34, but there are important applications there. What does God think of leaders who abuse and oppress in the church? And then only if you have time left in your brain for third level applications, only then is this about leaders in general. But there will be things here to say about prime ministers and presidents, about bosses of companies deciding how to treat their employees in lockdown, and parents even with their locked in children in homeschool during COVID virus. So let's see in Ezekiel what the exile was all about. Point one, the exile comes because of shepherds who feed themselves. Verses 2 to 6 are the evidence against those kings. The main accusation is in there, verse 2, twice. Let me pick it up halfway through the verse. Thus says the Lord God, or woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? And you need to know that the verb to shepherd and the verb to feed in this chapter is the same word. So this is like those memes where you had one job. You had one job, shepherd the sheep. The clue could not be more in the name. And they did not shepherd the sheep. They shepherded themselves. In other words, they stuffed their faces, they fed themselves, they were entirely in it for themselves, and they abused and they oppressed the sheep that they were supposed to be looking after. Verse 3 is what they did. You eat the fat, and that's a word that normally means milk, fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. So there's a picture, isn't it? The baby lambs have no milk because the shepherds have it. The sheep are naked and cold because the shepherds have their wool. And then they kill and they eat. And then verse 4 is what they did not do. If any of their flock was weak or sick or injured or strayed or lost, they did nothing. The whole job of caring for the flock, they didn't lift a finger, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. And I've put some references on the sheet if you want to follow up what these kings were like. Ezekiel and Jeremiah knew them well. They were sheep in the flock under these men. And the result was verse 5 and verse 6. The sheep were scattered, and they were at the mercy of every wild beast, with, verse 6, none to search or seek for them. This is how the appointed by God, descendants of David, the people with the promises and the word of God and the temple and the prophets, this is how they ruled. And the root of it all is who they were in it for. They fed themselves. And if someone who is listening has experienced the horror of abuse or oppression personally, I don't know, maybe it helps to hear Ezekiel talk about his experience of it. I hope it helps rather than hurting. But the horrific root cause here is just, it's so normal for us, isn't it? That leaders would be in it for themselves. We've become inured to that because it's all around us, so we hardly notice it. And at its extremes, it leads to behavior like this. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, he thought it was fine. But God saw what was going on. And God comes searching for the shepherds. And that is what exile is. The 10,000 were really miserable to be in Babylon. No, don't you realize what God has taken you away from? Don't feel sad that you missed 12 years of Zedekiah. Don't feel bad for him that the city has fallen, because God did that. Ezekiel chapter 12 talks about God hunting Zedekiah. And Ezekiel chapter 21 talks about God punishing him and taking off his crown. The exile comes because of shepherds who feed themselves and, point 2, are removed by God. And that's verses 7 to 10. That's what exile is. The unthinkable happens and God removes the kings. And there is a key word in verse 6 and in verse 8 and in verse 10. See if you can hear the difference that it makes. Verse 6, my sheep were scattered. Again, my sheep were scattered. Verse 8, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food, because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves. Verse 10, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand. Imagine being Zedekiah. Imagine being Zedekiah. I guess maybe in his childhood, someone reads him 2 Samuel 7 before he goes to bed each night. The promises of God that David's son will be on this throne forever. And maybe he sings Psalm 2 to himself or Psalm 110 for a change. I am the Lord's anointed. They can't get me. And privileged people can develop a sense of entitlement, and that can feed their sense that they can take whatever they want from people, no matter how it hurts them. But Zedekiah, what grounds he had, what privilege, what reasons for confidence. For over 400 years, this promise has gone on. And you can see how that would feel to a 21-year-old. It's unthinkable that God would stop me doing whatever I want with my people. But he didn't know. He should have known. He didn't know that those were not his people. He was slaughtering and fleecing and neglecting and eating people who belonged to the living, almighty Lord God, my sheep. And in 586 BC, at a particular moment in time, God said, I require my sheep at your hand. Time to see what you have done. Imagine the moment when he realizes that that is where he is. You can't get a more sacred charge, can you, than king of God's people, God's own bride and children, the apple of his eye. And any comparison will pale, but it's sadly all over the world, the illustrations, comparisons of this. I am not grown up enough, I think, to read Dickens. I don't enjoy it. And that is because I cannot face the misery in there. Charles Dickens exposes abuse in 19th century London. You meet the orphan who horrible things happen to, chapter after chapter. And where the people who should be protecting the child are taking advantage of him. And I don't know, maybe there is a happy ending at the end of each book, but I never get that far because there is this crushing sense that no one is ever going to show up and say, that child is mine. What are you doing? I trusted you. An exile is rescue from kings like this. It didn't feel like it to Ezekiel's friends. But he says, look clearly, and to us, look clearly, no son of David has sat on the throne in Jerusalem since. That was the moment when God had had enough, and that was good, and that was right, that was rescue for the sheep. And the thundering application goes to all of our three application categories. Whoever you are, even if you are David's son and God's king, Zedekiah, if you do this to his sheep, God sees, God cares, and he will remove you in this world or in the next. And the primary application then, let's work out, is to Jehoiakim. He was the king who was king for only 3 months, the king before Zedekiah. He had 3 months, and then he was packed off to Babylon with Ezekiel. He went in the same group. And he was an evil king, just like his father and his uncle Zedekiah, 2 Kings 25 tells us. And he is now in exile. And he must come to terms fully with what it means to be an evil king of God's people. Give up trusting in who you are and who you were and who your ancestor was. Give up hiding. God sees. And he is part of the generation that need to repent of their past. Last week, we said they need to be loathsome in their own sight for the evils they have committed. Perhaps with this chapter open, that makes more sense now. Though, chapter 33, verse 11, is to Jehoiakim as well. God sees clearly how wicked he is, and yet he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And you'll need to give me more time by asking a question to prove it, if you want, but that verse is a direct reprieve of an earlier chapter in Ezekiel addressed directly to Jehoiachin. And the whole group in exile have the same opportunity. Give up on your indestructibility. Loathe the evil that you have done. Turn from it to God and live. But how about our second application, secondary area to church leaders? Well, let me read to you a bit from the Church of England ordination service, which goes here directly. Says, have always printed in your remembrance how great a treasure is committed to your charge. For they are the sheep of Christ, which he bought with his death, and for whom he shed his blood. The church and the congregation whom you serve is his spouse and his body. And if it shall happen that the same church or any member thereof do take any hurt or hindrance by reason of your negligence, ye know the greatness of the fault and also the horrible punishment that will ensue. There is a challenge of unutterable seriousness, isn't it? There is an application of what God did to Zedekiah. Church leaders who get rich off the money of the poor in their congregations, church leaders who get sexual gratification by harming the vulnerable, church leaders who are there to feed themselves. That's what the exile says. Okay, we'll now look at what the restoration says. These are the restoration chapters from 34 onwards. This is what God will do instead of Zedekiah. This is why it was better to be in exile instead of back in Jerusalem with him. So third point, the restoration is that God will be our shepherd personally. Verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. Instead of these horrible men, God will be shepherds. And verse 12, the exile, well, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And we tend to flop between failed types of leaders. We realize eventually that one lot are corrupt, so we reach for the opposite, thinking they'll be better. That's why the dictator and the strongman will always have an opening, and then why the smooth new wave will always come in after. We don't need a different kind of leader. If you mean a different kind of human leader, we need God. God doesn't replace Zedekiah with someone cleverer, or stronger, or softer, or from a different kind of swamp. He replaces him with himself. So when Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd, I think normally I've read that as Jesus saying, I am the human David. And Jesus is that too. Come back next week. But first and foremost, application number one, since 586 BC, there has not been a human David on a throne in Jerusalem. God pulled all of that down and God took over as shepherd personally. And so Jesus in Jerusalem in 33 AD with Ezekiel and a whole bunch of other passages from the Old Testament open in his head says, I am the good shepherd. He's saying, I am your God. Personally, your shepherd. And Ezekiel is hoping, is praying that people oppressed and abused by those four men will turn to God instead and trust him to be different. Trust him to be shepherd for the sheep rather than shepherd against the sheep. And today, application, God is hoping, praying that we will trust Jesus to be our God, to be shepherd for us, to give his life up for us, to feed us rather than himself. And I said that we would see on the other side of the door how wonderful all the things that God has planned for us are. And someone asked after last week, can you just tell us a bit more about what life is? Well, yes, that is chapters 34 to 48. So for starters, point three, it is to have God as your shepherd forever, now in this life, but even more face to face after death. He is the true king. So that's the restoration. God will be our shepherd personally. And also, point four, God will bring us life. And verses 13 to 16, they describe what sheep really need. They need security, they need grass, they need food, they need a place to live. Do you hear the strong connection between security and food here? When they reintroduced wolves to Yellowstone Park, all of the trees began to grow again. Do you know why? Because if the wolves are prowling, then the deer and the, I don't know if they have sheep, the sheep, if they have sheep in Yellowstone and everybody else, they can't concentrate on eating because they've got to be running. And if that goes on long enough, the sheep die. But God goes to get his scattered people and he brings them to his good pasture and he makes them lie down. And verse 16 reverses verse 4. God does everything for them that the kings didn't do. They will be safe and they will feed and they will live. And that is the picture language for the Christian hope after death. What happens if we die? Well, verse 13 to 16, a God who cares, who died for us, for those who repent and turn to Jesus, he will feed them and care for them in safety. And that helps, doesn't it, when in our third area of application, when Donald Trump or whoever doesn't appear to have the answer to COVID-19, that is no surprise. Presidents and prime ministers cannot keep you alive, nor even can the NHS. I'm beginning to pick up that NHS workers are deeply uncomfortable with their new role as the magic priests who can solve every problem. No leader, no church leader is reliable in the end. Certainly none can give you life. Only God can shepherd through death and into an eternal physical new creation. And the picture language for that is all here. Ask a lost sheep who has been found and brought home and kept safe and asked to lie down in valleys full of green grass. Let me lead us in a prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, the Good Shepherd of the sheep, and that our Lord Jesus Christ is our Good Shepherd, our true Shepherd. And we thank you for the chance in his self-sacrificial death to have life and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen.